Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I didn't expect Jeff to remember Barry's walk-up song, but I also didn't expect Jeff to play this song. So here we are.
To my defense, I was calling Barry, and then some caller called about some crazy topic that I'm not even going to put over the air. It's just going to start up turmoil in Washington again. And I was just like, shoot, it's going to be dead air. Let me hurry up. And Carrie Underwood
all
was
good.
Right here.
Carrie's getting it done. Carrie and Barry, it's a perfect couple. Hello, Mr. Sverluga. How do you do?
Gentlemen, how are you on this fine Postmasters Monday?
We're loving it.
Dude, let me ask you this.
Yeah,
are you still down
out,
there?
We got to find out if you were a certain person.
No, I flew back early this morning, so I'm home.
Were you the Washington Post reporter that asked Greg Norman a question?
No. Rick Mace, my colleague, he has done a lot of work on the LIV PGA Tour business stuff and has, you know, been to the hearings on the Hill and has worked the lobbies and lawyers. So he got word from people he had been talking to that that Norman was on the grounds, and Norman, if Rick found him, would talk to him. I'm pretty sure that Rick was the only person that Norman talked to on the record of after 2 days on the ground. So good, yeah. Get for him.
So Kevin,
was he kind of wild? I mean, kind of question? Was he questioning Norman acting kind of weird because he was kind of being a creep out?
Well, he was, and that was. Rick got him on Thursday morning before that kind of all came out. And I think the deal is there were like LIV officials around him, and their thing with Greg, as best I can tell, is like they're trying to keep him under wraps. Like they don't want to make headlines necessarily because he really is a headline seeker. He has been his whole life. I mean, he used to do it with his play. And sometimes with his collapses, notably in 87, 96. You know, he is a very kind of out there character, and he has always wanted to take on the PGA Tour, and now he's in position to do it. And as LIV and the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia and the PGA Tour try to hash out whatever deal they're going to get to, they don't really necessarily want Greg Norman blabbing all over the place.
I think they need to just get rid of him, man. I think everything will work a lot smoother.
There's people that believe that, Brian. And to be clear, he's not the one in power. The Saudis and the PIF are in power.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm pretty sure I saw – who's the dude that runs PIF? We said – is it Yasser?
Yasser.
Yeah, Yasser. I believe I saw him Wednesday when I was there wearing like a dope purple sweater.
Totally possible, completely possible. I didn't know that he was there, but, you know, as you know, JP, there's a lot of people there, and you don't necessarily run into folks.
A lot of moving parts.
Totally possible.
Right. Unfortunately, so we read Kevin Van Valkenburg wrote about how weird Greg Norman was being, and we read it earlier, and it said a Washington Post reporter, and we wondered if that was you. Now that we've handled the dumb LIV Greg Norman stuff, what'd you make of Scotty?
I mean, he's just so impressive, man. And I'll say this, when he won in 2022, he was on a heater that spring. He had never won a PGA Tour event going into the 2022 calendar year. He ripped off three wins there, rose to number one in the rankings, and then, you know, throttled a really good field at the Masters, had a five-shot lead on the 18th tee, made double, and still won easily. And I wrote at the time, like, be careful with what you project about this guy because, you know, guys go on runs, and Tiger even said this at the time, like, what you're hoping is to get hot, get in this zone, and when that happens, a major or two is in the way. Flash forward 2 years later, and I think Scotty has kind of secured himself, not as a guy who was on a heater, but a guy who produces sustained excellence. I still think you have to be careful about what you project for a guy to, in terms of winning majors. I mean, Jordan Spieth won three in a three-year period. He looks miles away from being able to do that now. Rory famously won his four by the age of 25.
And now Scotty is making more money than him in a year.
Yeah, exactly. And Rory's 0 for his last 35. Brooks obviously won the four at a compressed period of time and then added the PGA Championship last year. What I would say about Scotty, though, while I'm being cautious about projecting how many majors he might win, is that this is not like a horse for a course of Augusta National. Like, he has a game that will travel. It's not like Bubba Watson, who, you know, a big lefty who cuts the ball and was kind of set up to win multiple times at the Masters. I think Scotty right now is a threat every time he tees it up. Just impressive both in game and demeanor.
Totally. Like, when I watched the time they showed him on TV, he was like, he was just going about his business. Like, you know what, baby, you want me to, I'll move these clothes. He didn't seem like he had a care in the world while he was playing.
Well, and you know what, Brian, and this is, it makes him boring to write about because what he believes and what's ingrained in him is like, the past is the past and what matters is right in front of him, whatever's right in front of him,
yeah.
Which is an awesome way, an awesome headspace to get your golf game in. I mean, somebody asked Rory yesterday, he obviously shot 77 on that really windy Friday to essentially take himself out of the tournament, has not strung together four rounds at Augusta ever. But he has had stretches like this. And somebody said, well, what is it like to be where Scotty is right now? What's going through your mind? And he immediately said, nothing. Nothing is going through your mind. The clutter is out of there when you're in that kind of run. And that's as important as any shot or swing Scotty made, is that he is plodding along. His eyes are down. Sometimes he looks at the trees. He's not engaged in his surroundings, not in a distant way, but in a very purposeful, workmanlike, I know what I have to execute, and I have the ability to execute it. You never know how long you can sustain those stretches. He's in it right now, and maybe he runs into another one at Valhalla next month at the PGA.
I've seen JP do that for like three strokes.
I can I can occasionally
three strokes
have two pars and four holes. That's when I'm hot. we're talking with our friend Barry Svrluga here on the BetQL guest line. You can follow him at Barry Svrluga, Svrluga. Valdez said something to me this morning. He thought it was a boring Sunday at the Masters.
I didn't buy that.
What do you say, Mr. Svrluga?
Yeah, you know, okay, did Scotty have it wrapped up on the 18th tee? Yeah, he did. I don't think it was boring at all. I mean, Scotty scared the hole with his approach on 9, a really big momentum swing after he had made a good putt for birdie on 8. And that is at the same time when Colin Morikawa, who was right there, you know, put it in the bunker left of the green, left it in the bunker left of the green, made double. There was a five-way tie for the lead at one point when the leaders were on 8. So I thought there was a lot of moving around. And honestly, like, Max Homa was right there until he got kind of a bad break on 12, not with the swing, get a gust, you know, sending it over the green, but where it landed and having to take an unplayable that led to double that took him out of contention.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Ludvig Åberg, like, how is it boring
that's a cool story?
A new character who playing his first major, obviously had made the Ryder Cup team last fall, but like, he feels like a guy that was not just going to be heard from this weekend. He's going to be heard from in months and years to come. Did it come down to the 72nd hole? It didn't. Was it interesting to me? Absolutely. I mean, I'm a golf nerd, so I'm going to find
it interesting.
I'm with
you, Barry. I'm with you.
Åberg's my favorite golfer right now.
But what's interesting, too, is Scotty's game is certainly not boring. The guy was 4-under on a Master Sunday, but his game is just so efficient. Like, there's not, like, when Spieth was on his heater, he would pull off these ridiculous chips, right?
A whole out.
And like, when Rory was at his best, it was matching the iron play to his outrageous driving ability. Like, Scotty just kind of does everything really well.
Yeah, and you know, Rory, I walked with Rory and Scotty and Xander Schauffele on Thursday, and Rory and Scotty are ranked number one and number two in the world, even though Rory has been off to a slow start this year. And it was just so striking, the difference in the crispness of their games. And I know Rory's not in a great spot right now, but he is an amazing, amazing player.
Yes.
And Scotty leaves him in the dust right now. Not, but take away the score. Like, put aside what they both shot, which was 66 and 71.
Yeah. Wedge play.
But visually, how sharp they are. And yes, Brian, like, the crispness of Scotty's short game is insane when you couple it with his ridiculous ball striking ability. And the way he hits, does Rory hit it past him? He hits it past him. It doesn't really matter because he does everything else better. Scotty has been picked apart and questioned about his putting coming into this stretch where he's won the Players and he's won the Masters now. He was third in the field in putts per green in regulation this week. He's at the height of his powers. I don't know how you bottle this. He has a baby on the way. That can obviously be unsettling to regular people and, you know, kind of can get you out of rhythms and routines that you're used to. I'm not predicting anything will go wrong. It's just right now, there's him and the field, and there's nobody really close to him.
Nobody. I totally agree with that.
I totally agree with you. And it's Valhalla. We were talking with this dude, Ryan Ballingy. I don't know if you know Ryan. He does Golf News Net earlier this morning. And it already kind of seems like it's Oberg versus Scotty for Valhalla, which I can't wait.
Well,
go ahead.
I mean, I think there's interesting, you know, I think Max Homa, this was a big week for him because he didn't really lose it on Sunday. He hadn't been in that kind of position, the second to last group on Sunday of a major. Everybody out there says this guy's ball striking ability and his mental game are elite, and he should be in that position more. I wonder if this like unlocks a key for him to get there. Morikawa had not been in this position. He's a two-time major winner, but he has struggled coming into this year. I think he found something despite the double at nine and a really bad swing from the fairway at 11 that led to another double. I think you're seeing some guys that could be in the mix. I mean, I think, and Oberg obviously is another one. And I think Bryson proved something a little bit, even though, you know, his Sunday was not great. Whatever you think of him, like, he makes it interesting atop the leaderboard. He's a wacko,
I think he thinks he's so damn smart that he just thinks his way out of games.
I agree with you, Brian.
I watch him, and you see, and it's a, just chip the ball low right there. He has to go into all of these thought processes and try the he does
kind of like Mickelson.
I was exactly about to say that. He does exactly what Phil used to do. I'm not going to do what's easy. I'm gonna make it difficult.
Yes, I don't disagree, but I also think if you're talking about what makes a tournament interesting, he is a character that makes it interesting. And I think, you know, these LIV guys, they've got to perform well in majors to keep showing up at majors in the current setup. So I think there's a lot to be said for him getting himself in shape. I mean, is Scotty the favorite at Valhalla? He's the favorite by a million miles. I just think there's a number of, you know, not one-off characters who are kind of around the top this week that can be, you know, no one walks away from Augusta this week other than, I think, probably Rory and JT and Spieth thinking that was a disaster. This was a step forward for Morikawa. It was a step forward for Homa. It certainly was a step forward for Oberg. I think there's some characters that, as the major season hits its stride here, could be heard from again.
Yeah, for sure. Barry Sveluga, Washington Post. You going to Caps tonight? I know you just worked for like a week straight.
Yeah,
so
no, I just worked for a week, so I'm going to watch. I was thinking about going to Philly tomorrow if it's win and get in. So we'll see what happens.
Hey, if you go to Philly and you see JP, stay away from him because there's a hit out on JP in Philly.
Yeah, they don't like me up there. But yeah.
But if you need some protection, I'll go with you.
When and how?
Yeah, no,
would
I know you could. You can provide me protection in Philly. I know that, Brian.
Brian has actually provided me protection in Philly before. He's also not provided me protection in Philly before. One of each.
I believe both of those stories, yeah.
That's how I ended up in a taxi cab on the way to Atlantic City. Anyway, when and how would you go to Philly tomorrow?
Oh, I would go to Philly on the Acela in the afternoon, for sure.
Okay. Maybe we'll Acela together. Yeah. I just don't think if I got out of here at 2 – to drive to Philly, there's just too many variables.
No. There's a 3 o'clock Acela. What you would do is get in an Uber from
go straight over to the train station.
Union Station.
I could drop you off.
Hell, that's perfect. Okay. The way Union Station is these days, I don't know that I need to hang out there that much earlier.
No, maybe I'll drop you off because I'm trying my best to make sure you're not leaving at 1 to get there.
I'm not leaving early. Barry knows the train schedule. 3 o'clock Acela, I'm set.
Yes, you're good.
First step is winning tonight. Let's have them win tonight, and then we'll figure the rest of it out. Thank you, Barry. Appreciate your time.
Appreciate you, Barry.
And your training.
Have a great
knowledge.
Week, guys. Appreciate
All right,
it.
Brother.
That's guy, Barry Svrluga, to help us break down this Caps game, and it's a big one tonight against the Bruins. Steve Wino joins the program next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Wildcard Scotty chiming in on today's music says, whoever's on the beats today, wow, this is whack, whack, whack. You want to respond to Wildcard Scotty, Joe?
You can't beat the man in a battle and then come knock his skills.
Man, I play one Carrie Underwood song and people are.
Are you getting chirped online?
Nah, it's only Scotty, but come on now. I already ended your.
I thought it was a good mix it up.
Yeah,
that's cool
what I'm saying. Hey, Scotty, look, bro. I already ended your career once.
Ooh, not what I heard.
The last round was a butcher.
Yo, hold on.
Sorry, nah, go ahead.
Actual real breaking news here from Adam Schefter. A significant hire. The Washington Commanders are naming former longtime NFL executive Dave Gardy as the team's senior vice president of football initiatives, per sources. Gardy will now handle assorted in-game management duties and will support the coaching staff and front office on compliance with league protocols, officiating trends, and health and safety guidelines. I know Gardy. That's a really good hire. I'm surprised they were able to get him out of the league office.
Great hire, and I'll tell you this. Listen, man. Josh said everybody spends the same. You got to – what was this?
Win on the edges.
Win on the edges. And this is on the edge because making sure you are in tune with all the league protocols and the refereeing, the way that they do different things and how their little patterns are, hell yeah.
And, dude, Ron could have used this. But it is hard to handle everything going on in game, to know when you use your timeouts, to know when to go for two, know when to kick a field goal, know when to go for it on fourth down, all those things. If you have somebody you trust that has access to you on game day, that's a lot of value.
Yeah.
That's a lot of value.
Hell yeah.
We'll get into that more. Right now, we got to talk about this Cavs game tonight.
Yes.
Big one. Obviously, Steve Wino, Associated
Andy
Press.
Andy Reeves say huge.
Wineasy, how big of a deal is this one?
This is the biggest game the Capitals played all season, and it's amazing that game 81, it's meaningful, but this is a situation where it's not an absolute must-win where the Capitals, if they lose tonight in regulation, would be eliminated. They can't clinch a playoff spot. They can't be eliminated tonight. But this is game 81. If they guarantee themselves getting in if they win their final two games. So, yeah, this is a big one.
How do they match up with the Bruins?
They actually match up really well, Brian. For a team that in the Bruins who were the best team in the league last year, could win the Atlantic Division this year and kind of are a level above the Capitals. Cavs play them really well. They beat them up in Boston pretty handily, actually, a couple of months ago, and then went to overtime here, lost in a shootout a couple weeks ago. So this is a team that based on kind of not being fast but being a big and tough opponent, the Capitals match up pretty well against.
All right, so we got Lindgren in goal.
Lindgren in goal.
Defensively, they're kind of beat up, right?
Yeah, they are. And now without Nick Jensen, who was injured the other day on that scary hit to the boards, Rasmus Sandin
okay?
Also out. He is.
Okay.
He was walking around the team facility the past couple of days. He was able to walk out of the arena with his family. All things considered, like, he is okay. I have to imagine if this team makes the playoffs, that Nick Jensen will have a chance to play, if not in game one, but certainly by game two or game three. But also, without Ethan Bear, who's in the player assistance program, the Capitals are now down to a rookie in Vincent Iorio and a 31-year-old call-up from the minors in Dylan McElrath stepping in to play against Boston tonight.
That doesn't sound great. Does Boston need this thing? Are they on cruise control?
No, Boston needs this to win the division. The Bruins still have another game after this, so it's not like a must-win for them. It's not quite the same urgency the Bruins have that the Capitals do, because the Capitals are fighting to continue their season and to make the playoffs. The Bruins already know they're in. They still want to win. They'd love to have home ice advantage, at least through the first two rounds of the playoffs. They have a chance to win the President's Trophy and have home ice advantage throughout. So this is a team that cares very much, but spoke with Captain Brad Marchand this morning, and he said they're more concerned about building their game for the playoffs than necessarily winning the division.
Gotcha. And kind of like getting everybody healthy and in the right zone. What is the playoff scenario? Do they have to win both? Obviously, there's different points for winning in regulation, all that stuff. Like, if they win both, are they in? Walk me through this.
Yes, JP, if they win these next two games, tonight against Boston, tomorrow at Philadelphia, in any fashion, they're in the playoffs. So that's the simplest way to get in. There are other machinations and things that can happen with what the Penguins, the Islanders, and the Red Wings do, and also obviously what the Flyers do. But this picture is going to become much clearer by about 10 o'clock tonight. But the most simple path for the Capitals, win these next two games, and they're playing this weekend either at New York or at Carolina.
All right.
Win two and you're in.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that complicated.
I love it like that.
We're talking with Steve Wino from the Associated Press. You can follow him at S Wino, Whyno. Obviously, Ovi has just been playing so well in the second half of the year here that what's fun is he's scoring at a really impressive rate over the last, like, 6-8 weeks. But the story isn't about the scoring because they're actually winning and trying to chase into the playoffs. How impressed have you been by a guy that seemingly never stops impressing us in Alex Ovechkin?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And when he had 8 goals in his first 43 games of the season, we were starting to wonder, hey, has he gotten old? I mean, he's a 38-year-old hockey player, and is there any chance still of catching and breaking Wayne Gretzky's goal record? And now that he's gotten to 30 on the season, it's kind of crazy. And a series of things happened. He was able to kind of unplug and go to Dubai and see his family. And he changed sticks. And he started getting some bounces. And the team structure and some Spencer Carberry changes helped everybody score more, including Alex Ovechkin. But, no, it's been crazy the second half of the season just to see kind of the change back to what we're used to seeing out of Alex Ovechkin. But no one's done this in the history of hockey, has scored this amount of goals, 30 goals this many times in a season, this many times in a career. but also at this age, no one's done this. And so I think it's easy to marvel at what Alex Ovechkin's been doing.
As you look at it, looking at him going towards to just set that record, tie, break it, whatever, do you estimate next year or 2 years?
I would think it's probably two years. There's a chance that he could get there by the end of next season if he puts up 40. That's certainly possible. But I do think because he signed for two more years after this, Brian, that this could bleed into that 25-26 season. But that's the reason why they signed a contract like this, to give him the extra chance to do it.
Yeah. He's at 852 now. Is that right?
852, I think, is where he's at now. So that puts him 42 back of tying and 43 back of breaking the record.
That's crazy, man. Well, it's also nuts, the COVID year. Like, if that was a real season, what does he finish with? And then the lockouts and everything. It's just,
yeah,
he might already be there if everything just kind of ran on normal timelines.
Yeah, even if you think about, he was drafted in 2004 and there was a full season lockout that year. We don't know whether he would have come over from Russia that season anyway. But if you take that season, you take the lockout in 2012-13 that got shortened. You have the COVID end of that year that got shortened. You have the next season after that got shortened. We could be talking about he's already at the record and looking at 915, 920, 950 goals as a younger player. But that's those have been the breaks for him, unfortunately, in the last two decades.
Yeah. Speaking of the younger players with the Caps, whether they get in or not, how much growth have they seen from, you know, McMichael, Milano, Strome, that subset of guys?
That's actually one of the more important things, that even if the Capitals don't make the playoffs, that these guys have been playing meaningful games. Connor McMichael, Hendrix LaPierre, even Alexander Alexiev stepping in when they traded Joel Edmondson. These are guys who they did go on a run with the Hershey Bears last year and won an AHL championship. But to do it in the NHL, to be playing essentially playoff-style games in March and April, is going to be invaluable in the coming years. When you go into a rebuild and then all of a sudden want to contend again in a few years, I think a lot of folks are going to be looking back at this sort of run as, hey, they learned how to do this. They learned how to navigate the ups and downs of going through a six-game losing streak, of looking like you're in, looking like you're out, and there's no substitute for being able to play in these games, but even better if they're able to play in some playoff games too.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
That'll help out tremendously.
Not to put you in a tough spot, but what happens in these next two? Give me a prediction.
I'm going to guess that they lose in overtime or a shootout tonight. I think the Bruins are a team that desperate to put away the division and do that. And I think they win tomorrow night in Philadelphia and might have to be some scoreboard watching to hope the Penguins and Red Wings lose.
Man, I hate scoreboard watching. All right. Wino, thank you, buddy. Appreciate you making time for us. I know you're busy.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, man.
That's our guy, Steve Wino. You can follow him on Xbox at S Wino, WHYNO. We're going to give you a little bit more about the new Vice President of Football Initiatives in Washington when we return.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. The wait is over, DC. FanDuel, America's number one sports book, is officially live. And right now, new customers can get started with $150 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Then you can bet on all your favorite teams in all your favorite sports, all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So don't miss out on $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, when you bet your first $5 on FanDuel. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to sign up today. Make every moment more with FanDuel. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 18 years or older, present in D.C., first online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet that expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537.
B. Mitchell Finley, big Caps game tonight. Got to win. Say, like, you could come at me with the hows and whats, and if Detroit loses and the Islanders move to Guatemala, like, all of that tomorrow. Tonight, you got to win. I don't want to hear about the Penguins and the Atlanta Thrashers that no longer exist. Tonight, just beat the Bruins. Correct, Brian?
Totally.
If we got to
make sure that the next game still has excitement with it. You know
correct.
What I mean? Because I think if you were to lose tonight, then people are going to say, okay, whatever. Because you need too much help. win tonight, and then you go tomorrow, and if you win, you in. That's nice. And I would love to see Ovi in that situation where we win, we in. And then, you know, when he has to put him on his back, he can get it done.
Totally. Got to win tonight. Let's talk a little bit more about the Commanders news that just came out. This is probably going to fly under the radar a little bit, but I implore people to not. This is a big deal. The Commanders have hired Dave Gardy. They created a new position, the Senior Vice President of Football Initiatives. In the press release, it says Gardy will handle a number of in-game management duties and will support the coaching staff and front office on compliance with league protocols, officiating trends, and health and safety guidelines. Gardy's been in the league office for 21 years. He was Senior Vice President of Football Operations for 10 years. Prior to that, he was the league's Vice President of Labor and Football Administration. He was he's a lawyer. He started as a lawyer for the league. Think about this. How does the lobbying industry in this town work, right? These people work on Capitol Hill. They are administrative aides or legal aides or communications aides in senators' offices and in representatives' offices from all over the country. They work for the White House. They work for committees, all of this stuff. They gain the institutional knowledge required to craft legislation, and then they leave and they get paid a ton, and they go to K Street, and they then use that institutional knowledge to craft legislation that advances their cause.
Yeah, exactly.
Washington just did that, dude. They found a guy that worked for the league and built the rule book, and now they've hired him to help them take advantage of the rule book.
Smart ass folks right there.
What do you always say about golfers that know the rule book?
It's like cheating.
Right.
Because they know exactly what you can do and how far you can push it. And probably taught the people that you're going to be talking to. Think about that.
Totally. And I think...
I remember I went to court one time. So my lawyer taught all the people that were in the system, the judges and the other lawyers. So you go in there feeling confident, don't you? Worked out perfectly.
Totally.
I'll leave it like that.
I think folks got to understand... The fact that he's going to be involved in in-game management, when you think about challenges, when you think about to the letter of the rule with fumbles or this new swivel hip drop tackle, this dude was heavily involved in that. When you think about timeouts, penalties, all of these things, in-game management with the guy that just ran football operations for the last decade. Yeah. This is a big damn deal. And I've already gotten texts from people around the league, including somebody that works on Park Avenue in the NFL office, just said simply, Gardy is the best.
Hey.
I sit across from him. Great football. Like, the people that know this dude well are extremely energetic about the move for Washington.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal, folks.
Yeah, and the man, he basically told you, listen, nobody is going to really spend more money on the field, so we're going to find ways to make sure we make it easier for our guys to all they got to focus on. What did Magic say at the first stadium they did the big thing over at the stadium? He say, we're going to handle everything. Players have to play, and coaches are going to coach. That's what they're trying to do now.
For sure.
Setting everything up for them.
Jeffrey? Let's make some bets. Also, I don't want to jinx it, but like I fear that this may be talking about a perfect game in the ninth inning before it's over. Outside of the one time Jeff randomly just started playing other audio, he's had almost a perfect day running the board in Landfill's chair.
Yeah, he is so uncomfortable having to sit in that chair and not move a lot today. Because normally he'll be gone like 45% of the time.
Well, Toby
has been Jeff all day.
Though. Toby has really adjusted to Jeff life because he's been sitting down producing the show maybe 40% of the time.
Toby definitely been out of his chair longer than I.
No, he has not.
I'll bet the over. He was gone a whole segment.
He just went to get Ahmed.
No, he was gone earlier, but I thought he had to drop the kids.
He was talking on the phone about the drab about getting his credit card.
Nah. He went to the men's room.
Took the Cleveland Browns to the Super Bowl.
I had valid reasons for everyone except for one. The one time I was in there talking to Stallion, and that was something that wasn't job related. The rest of this was all valid.
Toby, don't take it personal, bro. But I have valid reasons too, so that's why you got to get it, bro.
Going to the bathroom for an entire segment, maybe valid, but it like that's a wild dog.
I mean, it happens. Sometimes you got to go, man.
He walked in here like he tore that bathroom up, too. Pepping his step
in. Hey, you notice I go take my walks to the breaks? I haven't gone yet. I'm letting that whole thing air out.
Let's make some bets. Let's start. This doesn't have to be your official pick for the night, but let's start with Caps predictions. I got the Caps winning 3-2.
Let's go, Caps.
2-1.
B says 2-1. Jeff just says, let's go Caps. Toby?
I'll ride with you. 3-2. 3-2 Caps.
Okay. Now let's make some picks for tonight.
All right. I'm taking the Yankees over the Blue Jays. And I just want to sneak something in there. I won the pool this week. I had to put it on air. I gave y'all ample time to talk about it. Y'all lost to Jeff in golf. That's going to count as my golf.
Oh, that is true. You did win the golf pool.
Yes.
So we're supposed. What do we owe you? It was 10 a man, and Scotty owes you 20.
Yeah.
I will pay you. You won fair and square.
Although,
did we actually add it up? Did you actually win?
Yes, I actually won.
All your guys made the cut?
Listen, Scotty won the thing. He won.
I mean, he had Scotty, Shoffley, McCarthy, Danny made the cut.
Everybody had was working.
Everybody made the cut.
Everybody was working on the weekend. All of ours, we can't say the same.
Gantlay. Yeah, Matt Jeff Lay. Definitely won.
Yeah, D-Lay. Man.
D-Lay. All right, so you're not making a pick tonight?
I said the Yankees. That's probably the only time I beat y'all in golf, but that counts to me.
Jeff, if you actually try to get good at golf.
He still won't beat me.
You have a chance of beating me, is all I was
He might
say.
Kill. No, that was Cody almost killed Amit.
That was Cody almost killed Amit.
Yeah.
I think I could beat Toby.
No.
No, you can't.
I think Toby's better than I am.
I'll put my money on
What's
Toby.
Your handicap, Toby?
I haven't people played, do that? I haven't played in forever.
He about to exaggerate a little
I
bit.
I have not played in forever, so I couldn't give you an honest
What do you? What do you?
I probably shoot 80s? Low 90s.
All right, you and I are probably about the same.
Yeah.
What's your pick tonight?
I'll beat the brakes off of you, Toby.
You will.
I'll take over 8.5 runs in the Nats and Dodgers game.
Okay.
Hold on, let me see.
Oh, you were talking about how you think the Dodgers are going to shell this pitcher.
Yeah, they're going to score a lot of runs tonight.
How do you know?
I'm taking the Orioles because my wife's Aunt Molly's going. Is that good analysis? Give me the O's. Aunt Molly's going to be there. Bring home a dub.
Aunt Molly?
Aunt Molly.
You said the Dodgers are going to shell this team.
God, I hate when we get to the part of the year where all you can bet on is baseball. It's so boring.
Oh, Lord.
Tomorrow night, I guarantee I'm betting.
Do they have an over-under this game?
I'm sure it exists. What game?
The Dodgers and the Nationals.
Yeah, I took over 8.5.
The best part is.
And they don't have no run? It's only. Oh, Lord. It's minus 360.
I mean, we're going to be on. This is going to be a Sheehan level break by the time Beamish puts his
JP,
bet in.
You do this on a regular basis. Stop.
Only with Rooster.
I'm going with Toby.
All right. That's action. Official. Thank you to everybody that listened to the program. Thank you to Ryan Ballingy for joining us. Thank you to the big man, Mitch Tischler, for joining us. Thank you to Barry Sferluga for joining us. Thank you to Steve Wino for joining us. Thank you to Ahmet for bringing pizza in. And thank you for the Rooster for following his nose. Thank you to everybody that listened. It's a Jeff Toby week. We're going to keep it going. Grant and Danny up next. You made it this far. I owe you a Caps win.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.